Access granted.
Subject: interview with Oliver Barrett. Body: on 6/6/2023, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, was tasked with the mission of interviewing the talented artist behind the wonderful packaging artwork for the G.I. Joe classified series, Oliver Barrett. Here's what we could show you from this G14 classified interview.
Access granted.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Full Force Redacted. I am Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, and joining me today to chat about his incredible work on multiple pieces of G.I. Joe classified packaging artwork is the very talented artist, Oliver Barrett. Hello there, Oliver. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing, mate?
I am great. I'm hanging in there. We've got a lot of things going on in the house, got a lot of things going on at work, just trying to keep my head above water and, you know, enjoy it.
Awesome. So you've done lots of classified artwork over the years, starting, I would say, with that amazing kind of first wave Destro. This is before I've even asked you about any background. We're getting straight into that. So how did that all kind of come about? Because obviously that was way back in, what, 2020, I think now?
That was actually, I want to say it was in 2019. I was still living in Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland. And I don't remember when the very first classified package came out. The first one I saw was Tracy Ching's Snake Eyes, the very first one.
Yeah.
The one that had the wolf on it. And I've been familiar with her work for years. And I remember seeing that and being like instantly jealous. I was like, yeah. I would have loved to have done that. Because like I watched G.I. Joe as a kid.
Yeah.
And a ton of it. Like I remember like, I don't remember when, like, what was the name of the toxic group of guys that came out in, like, the early 90s.
Eco Warriors?
Yes, those guys. I remember there was a commercial for them, and I was already into G.I. Joe before that. Like, I was born in 84, so they were kind of big, like, while I was a little kid, then they kind of came back in the 90s. And my mom had a doctor's appointment, and she said something about, like, taking us to buy a toy or something afterwards, and I didn't want to wait until she was done, so I kind of like barged in and was like, hey, are you done? And I think she was like getting like a serious like back exam or something like that.
Wow.
she was super pissed. I saw Tracy's Snake Eye stuff and I was like, man, that would have been amazing. And then
I did interview Tracy when she first revealed that. We had her on the show. And yeah, really lovely, lovely person, Tracy. And the artwork, yeah, it's phenomenal as well. It was a beautiful kind of opening piece, wasn't it, for the line as well?
Yeah, absolutely crushed it. Really set the tone for everything. So maybe like 3-4 months after that, I want to say, it was a Friday. I didn't have a ton going on. And then there was an email that came from Sean Kenny. And it was, hey, big fan of your work. Wanted to gauge if you had any interest in working on G.I. Joe. And it was like, okay, the day's over. Like, this is all I needed to do today is just read this email. Like, this is amazing. Because the email was asking, like, yeah, are you into G.I. Joe? If so, can you give us a list of characters? And it was like, I can give you a list of characters in like 10 seconds. And I didn't get one on the list, and he still hasn't been done yet, to the best of my knowledge. So if there are Hasbro people that watch this and they are still looking for somebody to do the hooded Cobra Commander.
Right. You're on it.
Two on the list was Destro.
Nice.
He looked so cool. And, you know, I'm more of a Cobra guy than a Joe guy because the bad guys are always cooler. So I gave him a list, and I think, I don't remember who else was on it, but it might have been like Baroness was on there. I don't remember the other two because it didn't matter because I got Destro anyway.
You got the number two, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it was awesome. Everything about it was smooth. You know, a lot of these projects with like big brands, there's a lot of red tape to jump through. There's a lot of approvals to get.
I mean, you've done loads, haven't you? Like I've seen Star Wars, and I've seen like movie stuff like Full Metal Jacket and all sorts of different kind of things that you've posted over the years. I mean, you've covered all sorts of brands. So yeah, I can imagine that you've had to deal with loads of that kind of stuff in your career so far. Yeah.
And Hasbro's been, I don't want to say surprising or shockingly because it almost sounds like an insult, but they've been amazing to work with because they kind of just let me do whatever I want to do with it. And there's rarely ever an edit. like ever.
That's great.
Like even well, like even like just like minute details. Like there's usually somebody that'll say something, but
that's great. Tell us about the process of that actual artwork as well, because it's so like stylistically different to a lot of the stuff that was kind of going on. I mean, like, you know, Tracy's, for example, the snake eyes, very much like the full body, the, you know, wolf and everything in there and everything, very kind of like fitting in that space. Yours was definitely a different take with like the head of Destro and then Destro kind of inside that kind of like shot as well. I mean, what did you like? Did you like kind of put a few things together for them to kind of take a look at first? Or was that kind of the way you went and you just went there kind of full force? I'm just dropping the name of the show, by the way.
I was gonna say, well done. It was great because I had like an immediate thought that, okay, it's going to be mostly a portrait.
Right.
Because he has probably the most striking face for the entire brand. So after that, it was more of like, okay, what else? Like, it just can't be a giant floating chrome face. As much as I would have liked it to have been. So I tried, I mean, what I ended up doing is I sketched the head out and kind of figured out what, like how all the reflections were going to work and everything. And then printed it just on like a crappy, you know, regular printer. And then I ripped it up.
All right.
And had it on the table. And I had some other stuff, like I had printed out some just like Destro images from Google and just kind of like played around with like how it worked. And it wasn't so much like I ripped up Destro's face. It was more just like, okay, like maybe if we move, you know, we break his portrait up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that ended up not making any sense. But I did stumble across a thought that was like, you know, what if he's sort of standing in the head in a way? And I remember that particular package was very different from what they have now, where it's mostly like it's a big window and there's sort of like a star shape.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
Yeah.
And they sent me the template and there was already some artwork on it. And they had mentioned that there was going to be a t-shirt and a poster. And I don't know if they ever actually did. I think they did the poster.
They did. Yeah. They did both, I think. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because it was mostly like, okay, I make mostly posters and toy packaging is new, even though I've always wanted to do it. So this is like a big deal to me.
Yeah.
So rather than like try to not so much like get out of my comfort zone, because I do that. I just approached it like it was a poster. And then I was like, okay, how can I take this and make it work in the package?
Yeah.
Sort of at the same time. It was like, okay, like we got the poster going, we've got the package going. There's some push pull for like scale and composition. Like on the box, his portrait goes over the side, so the side of the box is just his face, whereas right. the poster has the giant portrait with him inside of it.
Yeah.
And
so yeah, you kind of got to do the whole thing a bit more on the poster and had to kind of work it
right
into the packaging. Yeah. I kind of feel like all the artists have had to really struggle with that space, because it's odd shapes and it's very thin. And yeah, like you say, you've got the side part and then you've got the kind of front. So
right.
Yeah. Yeah. And now obviously we have this kind of packaging going on. You might recognize this one.
I do.
We'll get to that in a sec.
Sure.
I'm desperate to talk about these, by the way. These are fantastic.
Oh, about the poster point. It was more like, okay, just do your thing and then kind of circle back and make it work, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Because as long as like I wanted to nail the artwork and then make sure that it, you know, worked on the package. But also at the same time, one of the things I ended up doing was I watched like the original Destro commercial on YouTube, like sort of like on repeat in the background. And it, I don't know, it kind of made it all like very real. I was like, holy crap, like I get to do Destro. Like for G.I. Joe, like it's amazing. And then, you know, jumping ahead a couple of years, getting to do the Hiss Tank is kind of equally mind-blowing, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Of course, but, yes, because that again, that was revealed recently, wasn't it, the Hiss Tank stuff? Yeah, we will get to that in a second, definitely.
Yeah, and
that's another thing, and that's a whole free, that's a massive thing that you did there. So yeah, go, sorry, carry on.
No, you're good. I also had a bit of a time crunch with it because there was another project that I was working on for a movie at the time, and that kind of ballooned and like soaked up a lot of my schedule. So the folks at Hasbro were like, hey, we kind of need to move on this, because I had, you know, I wasn't dragging my feet, but I wasn't as efficient as I would have preferred to have been.
Sure, sure.
So what ended up happening is, and this happens again later, is I'm Destro.
Oh, fantastic.
This is,
Yes.
I'll find the photo, but that's me in my old house with a Judas Priest shirt on and just making the pose. And then I kind of just like did it that way. Like,
That's great.
I don't know, something about the lighting in the kitchen worked enough to where I could figure out the same sort of reflections that were on the big portrait. It all just really worked.
That's great.
And super proud of that one.
That's great. That's like a nice little kind of Easter egg in a sense. Because obviously, like, having seen your spoiler alert, but having seen the shipwreck art you did and the reference photo you did with that, which is brilliant, by the way. Knowing that's the thing with Destro as well is fantastic. See, we've got a good friend of the show and often co-host Adam Riches. He's an artist in his own right. And he did a lot of loads of G.I. Joe packaging artwork over the years, and he's put himself in that kind of position as well, where he's done like I think it was a wide scope back in the club days, and he's got him on the
Cool.
front and everything, the same kind of thing. So I'm really happy to know that you, Oliver Barrett, is in that Destro artwork. That's amazing.
It's not like, oh, I have to be on the box, or like it's an egotistical thing. It's no, this is like
Just
the most
reference.
efficient way to get it done. Like,
Yeah.
it is what it is. Like, we'll talk about shipwreck specifically, but I can go over that like point by point and tell you
Yeah.
why it's me and not some stock photo guy.
That's great. Well, speaking of that, in a sense, your style, very, very kind of what's the word? Recognizable, very specific. Like there's a definite, you've got a real nice style going on, basically, is what I'm trying to get at. And you kind of see some of the similarities in the work you've done, with the G.I. Joe Classified series, but then the other stuff that you've done as well over the years, and kind of going into your background as well. Like, I mean, how did that style develop over time? Was this something that you've kind of always done? Have you always done art in that kind of way, or is this something that kind of grew over a period of time?
Both. Mostly the second one, because I started out like full career arc sort of situation is I always like drawing as a kid, that sort of thing. And then I was playing in bands and stuff in high school and then early days in college. And I had some computer art classes and it sort of made sense to just like use the projects to make our own like t-shirts and stuff. And then that sort of like snowballed into t-shirts for other bands, and then I started taking graphic design classes and then started doing logos for folks and your standard sort of graphic design stuff like brochures and whatnot. Got an internship early, worked my way up through a sort of like agency ladder sort of thing, was an art director for a long time. But the projects that I liked the most were the ones that I actually got to like draw something for. And it didn't happen too often, but it was like, okay, like I have like this skill set because when I was in college, I almost went into painting as a major instead of my major's actually, it was video and animation. But I was really, really close to getting into painting because I loved working with, portraits and figures and that sort of thing. So
Awesome.
any sort of project at work that I could, like skew that way, I was going to do it. And then I sort of realized like, why don't you just draw things? Like when you're a kid, like for no reason. And I did. And then I started sharing them on the internet. And then I started getting some freelance offers that way. And then I eventually ended up leaving the agency where I worked. And I'd built up enough work that it made sense for me to do that. And the style itself just sort of, it just developed over time. And it was a case of me learning new techniques, watching what a lot of other artists were doing, getting better at like recognizing shapes and planes and surfaces and that sort of thing. And then now it's evolved because I don't have patience to learn a whole lot of new things. So I use the same brushes that I've been using for like the last like 10 years, which is I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it
Dude,
works for me.
that, yeah, whatever
Like I,
works, right?
yeah, and it's worked. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not the greatest thing for my fingers and wrist either, because the brushes that I use aren't meant to be used that way. Like I use like
All
a
right.
palette knife brush and some other stuff, and I just, press really hard for the most part. So I'm just, like this, and like I got tennis elbow all the time. And like
That's
I mostly
great.
work out to like stay in shape because I sit all day, that sort of thing. But yeah, like the style has just developed just sort of naturally. And like, it wasn't one of the, because I get this question a lot where it's like, how did you find your style? Because a lot of other artists like want to like, how do I make my own style? And it's not really a question that you can answer objectively. Yeah. It's sort of like, try it, like just try things. And if you end up like doing the same thing as somebody else for a while, like just kind of ignore the folks that say like point. Nobody really does that anymore because there's like, because of social media, there's so many more artists sharing things.
Yeah.
But like back when I was doing it, there was just like gigposters.com and Flickr and Tumblr and some other stuff. And there was a couple of times where I would put something up. I want to say I drew like a portrait of like, it was John Coltrane.
Okay.
Because I was doing a series of like jazz icons. And somebody was like, hey, you're ripping off this guy. And I didn't know who that guy was.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, not on purpose. It's just, I'm just drawing, man. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just kept going, and then it kind of evolved into what I have now. And there's a lot of times where I'll do something and it's like, oh, that's accidentally close to one of my peers or friends, and it feels a little weird, but then I realize like it's not intentional. It's just, that's the way it works. And then by the time I finish, it's my own thing by the time I get it done. But like during the process, there's a whole lot of doubt that creeps in.
Like, yeah, you sound like every,
push it away.
Every creative, every artist I've ever spoken to or ever talked to, it's exactly the same thing. You immediately doubt everything that you're doing. And yeah, no, I feel you on that one big time. One thing I will point out about the style as well, and talking about how, like, the medium that you work in, I love like the use of kind of like the sharp lines and everything, and the shapes on all of the kind of like all the different shading and everything that's on like the faces and everything. I there's something very like when you're looking at it from a distance, it's almost like you see the whole thing. When you get really close up, you start seeing all these beautiful kind of like sharp cuts and lines and shapes and everything. And like that's something that I've really seen having the packages up close and personal very recently. So yeah, really love the style, dude. I just want to kind of fanboy as much as I can right now on that.
Oh, that makes my day, because I don't know if anybody notices these things.
Oh,
because it's me like being like, oh man, like that line's off, that was a little sloppy, you could have done that better, that sort of thing.
I was definitely looking at Shipwreck as well, and how, like, again, you look at it from a distance, you know, you just think that's a gorgeous piece of art, and then you get really close to it and you start seeing all those like really awesome, like, again, like real nice clear defined kind of shapes and everything, and layers and everything. There's so many, like, again, you really have to kind of look at it. But this is the thing that I love about the packaging art, is the fact that you know, you get it in hand and you get to see all those beautiful kind of like details, is what I'm getting at, really, more than anything. So yeah,
right,
I love it. Really awesome, man.
I need to get those four. I don't have the wave right now.
What Hasbro, come on.
I will say, like, I love them, but it took me a long time to get that Destro.
Wow.
Long time.
That's crazy.
I've kind of made a point while we're talking here that I really like Destro. So
yeah,
I had to bug some folks, like, send me the thing, please. I don't remember how long it took, but it was longer than I would have liked.
You guys need to be getting
not
comps.
That I'm not that I'm complaining, but you know, it's kind of a thing where like you make a thing and then you don't actually see the thing ever.
Yeah, totally.
It happens all the time.
I guess that was the case where you didn't really see it in stores, because at that time COVID kicked off pretty bad, so it was like,
oh yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I can. Yeah, that's got to suck as well, hasn't it? When you've done all that work and you can't even like enjoy it, like in its natural environment, really. But yeah, okay, cool. That's fantastic. Should we get stuck into this artwork, because it is stunning? We'll start with
sure.
Let's talk about the ones that you've actually done on the newest wave, because obviously we've got Rock and Roll, which you did, mm-hmm. and thanks for telling me that before, because I'd only seen you post about Torpedo, which is another beauty, absolutely gorgeous figure, Shipwreck, which we'll get into in more detail in a sec, and Copperhead, again, really cool work on that one. I love the greens and the, oh, lovely stuff. Anyway, let's start with Rock and Roll. Again, we talked about this before, about the challenges of getting things in like small spaces. Let's face it, for an artist, you only have like a small little kind of area to work with, but you manage to get quite a lot in there for Rock and Roll. A lot of the, you know, the face, the hand, like the Rock and Roll hand and everything. Was that something that you kind of fixated on when you saw the figure? Did you think, I've got to get that in there? Or was that a Hasbro thing?
The horns?
Yeah.
I'm not a big horns guy. speaking as a this a might musician. Sound gatekeeper-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I've been playing in metal bands since I was like 14. And there's just something like rock bad about this that like I can't fully embrace it. So on the initial sketch,
amazing.
And again, I'm not trying to dunk on anybody or anything, but like I very intentionally had him like this,
right,
with his fist up, because this is tougher to me than this.
Yeah.
But his name is Rock and Roll, so it can't be avoided. And they're like, this is actually, the more I think about it, that's the only note I've ever gotten from Hasbro's. Mm. Can you make the horns? It okay, sure, of course. I had to try not to, but
in that situation, do you paint over what you've done, or do you do another version of it completely?
Well, this was just the sketch, so everything's super duper loose. So it was like I don't even think I ended up. I don't remember if I sent that to them or not, or I was just like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. But I ended up having to sketch it anyway, just because that's the way I work. Like, I need to see it before it goes to final. I will say that I counteracted the, you know, no offense to anybody that loves the horns, but I think they're cheesy. To balance the cheesiness, there is a very intentional likeness that is sort of looks like Thomas Lindberg from the band At the Gates.
Nice.
If you're unfamiliar,
deep cut.
Seminal, you know, melodic death metal band from, I don't know, I guess it would have been the 90s, but they kind of came back. But it was like, yeah, like, okay, if we're going to go that route, I'm going to make it cool. And that's sort of who he is. I don't think Thomas Lindberg is the G.I. Joe guy, but maybe he is.
He is now.
Sweden. that was Rock and Roll. And
that's amazing.
What else can I say about him? Like, he is cool tattoo. So it was like, it wasn't like he's like, I keep saying like cheesy and corny, and he's not at all. It's more just like, okay, we're fixating on the horns. But he was really, really fun to draw. Like, it was a challenge to get all of that in the frame, because when they had sent the brief over, like, the way it works is like, okay, let me think of it. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot with an NDA here.
just tell us everything. It's fine. I'm just kidding.
I definitely cannot tell you everything.
Of course.
There's some other things that I'm working on. But they had said it's mostly going to be, you know, the side, the spine, and then there's a similar shape on the front. So the goal is to get all the most important pieces of it within that very sort of narrow vertical column. And him in particular, I don't remember if it was difficult or not to get the hand in there, because it is kind of like it works. I might have had to lower it or raise it a few times to make sure I get his whole head in there.
Yeah. And the angle as well, I suppose, helps a little bit by kind of like, if you're doing that, it might.
Oh, yeah. Actually, when I worked on these, I still treated it like they were like 18 by 24.
Right.
Images, because I didn't know what else Hasbro was going to do with them. And me being the guy that wants to continue to get work from people, it's like, okay, I'm just going to give this to you. And if you want to make other things out of it, like, we can talk.
Sure.
So it's a larger image than that.
Yeah.
And I remember I had to move his hand. I think the angle was wrong. And on the actual like final file, I ended up cropping it a little more narrowly. Like, it's still fine for what they ended up using it, but the arm is broken.
Right.
And, like, the actual, like, the wider image, because it's like, so, like, the elbow is like somewhere over here to get the hand in the right spot.
Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
not actually how that would go, but I'm not going to redraw the dude's shoulder if it's not showing up on the box.
I see what you're saying. I was going to have a look to see if I could see any weird angles.
You can't see it. I tried really hard to make sure you could.
That's so awesome. I do love the color.
He was fun to draw, though.
I love the color that you use on this one as well, especially in the background, that kind of orange, kind of almost like, I don't want to say like Vietnam style, but kind of almost like a sunsetting sort of scenario going on. Was that kind of a thought process there? Was there a reason for the color theory in that?
I think it was from the beard, just
carrying that sort of
he's more blonde in reality than redhead, but I think there was something about the yellow blonde sort of color not jiving with the green and the helmet and stuff. And I had done Copperhead before him, so it was kind of green and yellowed out by then. So I had to, you know, shift the hue a little bit.
Yes.
Rock and Roll was awesome because I really liked drawing his helmet.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a really great helmet.
I know, and you also included the Hang 10 on there as well, which is pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Hasbro made it easy because they provide a lot of really great resources to work from. Yeah. So it wasn't really like a super arduous process of putting all like the graphics and details in the helmet. It was kind of all there for me to see without too much, you know, trial and error.
That must be fun to see all this stuff early on as well, before it's obviously revealed, and you know, you get to kind of like have that secret going on and, you know, work on it and everything.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you like chomping at the bit by the time it comes out? You're like wanting to tell people like really badly.
There are some things I would love to say right now that I cannot say.
Yeah, you'll get the SWAT team.
Things that I've worked on, yeah. I get the Crimson Vipers after me or something.
Well, we will. We'll just have to have you. We'll have to have you back on, and you can talk about.
Yeah,
it
have me back on in a couple of months.
Yeah,
I think.
Awesome.
Whenever that thing comes out that I can't talk about,
I'll bleep anything that might be incriminating. Copperhead. You just mentioned Copperhead. Let's talk about that one as well.
Yeah.
Because again, you said kind of green and yellowed out, but again, I do love that color. Really vibrant, the kind of like the leaves and foliage as well that you've kind of got, kind of, you know, cutting almost like cutting through that as well. And again, lots in there that you've managed to kind of get in there, like the weapon, the knife, sorry, and the, you know, the main element of the figure there, which is fantastic. And those eyes
and that just totally insane expression.
Fantastic. So yeah, is that,
yeah, that was another one they sent over. That's sort of the way this works, is they send over like a rendering of the figure, and it has like all the call outs of like the colors and whatnot, and it's like a straight on side back that has all these accessories, and the actual figure has this super great psychotically angry expression in the eyes that I kind of just started with, and then basically just pulled everything on his eyes up like this. Eyebrows, corneas, everything is just kind of like popping like and it just works. Like it's something that I use in a lot of stuff where it's like, okay, how can I make this person look like they've just like eaten bath salts and they're about to just like destroy somebody's house.
If anyone's going to do bath salts, it's Copperhead.
It's gonna,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
It's really nice.
Just eat something weird in whatever swamp he's in and just go into a weird rage. That was my favorite of the four, actually, like despite the fact that my face is on one of them. He was the most fun to work on, and it's mostly because of, like, by the time I had gotten that face locked in, I just was laughing for most of the process. Like, this just looks so insane. I was keeping my fingers crossed that they wouldn't tell me to tone it down, because that's happened many, many, many other times on projects where it's like, okay, can we turn down the intensity a little bit?
Sure.
Like, one of the things I like to do is, like, you know, white it out. Eyeballs sort of like Raiden from Mortal Kombat. Like I it's something I've done since I was a kid. So like I just always think it's super cool. So every time I can, it's just like white dots for eyes, or like whited out eyes, or just like really tiny pupils. And this is one of those cases where they didn't say anything. So it was like, okay, we're going with that.
I think, yeah, I mean, the team, the G.I. Joe brand team are great. Like, I'm good friends with quite a lot of them, actually. And yeah, like Lenny, for example, I know he definitely likes, like, you know, cranking that dial on that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's amazing. Love this Copperhead one, man. It's really nice. Again, like, you get really close up to it as well, and you see all those, like, details again, and it's just really nice. And again, works really well for your style, too. And in the background, I've noticed as well some, like, you know, kind of different, like, the green and the yellow texture colors in the background, as if to suggest more kind of, like, foliage, I guess, in the background. Is that correct?
Yeah. Again, that's one that's much wider than what's on the box. And I don't know I posted some of them, because, like, I had him and Torpedo, there's, like, a whole... You know, their shoulders and everything. And on Copperhead, it's just more, you know, green stuff in the background, sort of jungle, sort of swampy sort of stuff.
Lovely. It's really nice, dude. Love that one. And you just mentioned
Thank you.
Torpedo, so we'll transition into Torpedo as well
Sure.
because this is a beauty too. I feel like I'm just rubbing it in that I have all of these products that you've worked on already in
I'm
hand.
just, yeah,
And
just
just
shaking
like,
my
I
head and
hate this guy. Why is
I'm just grinding my teeth over here. I want the toys. Give me the toys.
Torpedo, another beauty. And this is definitely one where you are trying to hard to get lots of this on show as well in the space, and it's brilliant. So you've got, again, obviously we've switched now, the color is in underwater, so there are lots of blues going on here, very nice kind of like, you know, again, and then like a glistening effect as well on the kind of harpoon there. Was this one a difficult one to try and get everything kind of in there, or would we, again, you might just be like sketching these out no problem and just being like, yeah, this is fine.
That one was the last one of the four, and we were kind of coming down to the wire. And I remember it didn't feel like it was difficult, like in terms of composition and making sure everything fit. It was more just like, can I get this done in time? And that happens a lot, where I just sort of panic and go, oh, I got so much to do, and it's like 11 p.m. and I'm just gonna put the coffee on and watch Lord of the Rings again. And then magically there's a torpedo there and he's done. And
That's
then I go to bed and I wake up and I
insane.
go, I somehow didn't mess that up.
Dude,
And
none of this looks rushed, put it that way. Like, I do not
oh
look at this
yeah.
torpedo and think that was like, you know, a crunch time finish kind of
Well, yeah, I
maneuver.
keep talking about time crunches and stuff, but it's really about making sure that it looks great. So it's less about like, oh, I have to get this done in a certain amount of time. It's like, no, I need to get this, make sure it's at the level that I want it to be. How much time do I have? How can I make that happen? Over and over and over and over and over again. But in his case in particular, the challenge was the glare on the goggles. And again, there's a, I don't remember exactly, but there's a whole figure there. So he's got a back foot where the flipper is kind of turned a certain way.
Yeah,
Oh
kind of
yeah, I can barely see it.
just about get
That
in there, yeah.
was one of the other few notes that they've given me. It just, scoot his foot over, and it was like, okay, no big deal.
Didn't have to break his leg on that one, though, did you?
No, but that I was trying not to, because again, like I don't know exactly what they're going to do with this stuff, because, and you'll have to tell me. I don't know if you've opened any of those or not.
No, I'm doing an
You haven't.
unboxing. I'm doing a special unboxing very soon. But it's finding the time, and I should do it now. Let's just
You should, I mean, you could, because I think one of the reasons they wanted me to make those, the entire illustration, is because there is a black and white
the
version of
interior.
each inside the box. So, yeah, I couldn't break his foot to just fit it in there. It had to be done correctly.
And that's the thing as well, isn't it? You don't want to, you don't want to kind of limit yourself after the fact either, like you just said about, other things it might be used for, the art might be used for. So yeah, I totally understand that. Again, this is something I didn't notice before, and I've only just noticed now, but you can kind of see his eyes behind the lenses as well, which is
Yeah,
kind of
it's me.
cool.
No, it's not me.
That's
Not me.
awesome. Awesome. Love it. Brilliant. Then finally we have Shipwreck. Now, the beauty part about this, and this was the reason, I think, seeing your post about this made me go, I need to contact Oliver and try and get him on the show because I want to talk about this. It's brilliant. So this particular like composition and everything like that was referenced you taking a picture of yourself, I guess, holding an extension cord to mimic the rope and the anchor, and obviously the face and everything, the denim shirt I thought was a nice touch as well.
Yeah.
Just amazing stuff, man. Take me through that day, please. That's brilliant.
Okay. I think he was the first one I worked on of the four, and I was looking through, the whatever stock sites, iStock and Dreamstein and all those other ones, for a guy that was yelling with a beard. He didn't necessarily need to have a beard, and then I was like, okay, well, he needs to have a collared shirt on just because I want to make sure that like all the wrinkles are right and everything. And I was like, oh, the gloves, and I gotta draw leather gloves. And I was like, wait a second,
I have
I have
what?
all these things. So I went upstairs And I pulled out like the thickest cap I could find, put it on, put the shirt on, put the gloves on. I mean, I live in Texas.
Brilliant.
I don't really need these gloves, but I still have them from when I lived in Ohio, and put them
Amazing.
on and found an extension cord and just started, taking shots of me just
Did
yelling into
you
the camera.
think, what am I going to use for the rope here, and just look around for stuff? Or does extension cord one of those things that just popped in there immediately? Because that's brilliant. That's
Extension
genius.
cord is almost always works for any sort of like windy, ropey sort of thing. Although I suppose I could
Yeah.
just,
Get
buy
rope.
a rope.
All
I
these
could have done
years.
that. It might have looked better.
No, this is dope.
I was at Home Depot right before this. Next time I'm buying some rope, just in case,
Brilliant.
I do the knit cap shipwreck down the road.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Hey, I'm
Yeah,
down.
tell him. Tell him. Also, just about getting Polly in there as well. That's kind of an important thing, isn't it? And yeah, that's got to be
That
a
was a tricky
difficult.
one because the way these things I tend to build these things is like shipwreck is his own element, like a layer, like a what a smart object inside of Photoshop, and Poly is her own, group of layers too. So there was a lot of trial sort of stuff where I had to, okay, too much bird in the face, not enough bird, way too much bird, not enough glove.
Yeah.
A lot
It's
of
like moving stuff all over the place.
this way, and I go, oh, I don't know. It sort of looks right, and then I do that thing where you take a break, because you're supposed to take breaks when you're working. Not that I don't take enough of them, but I took one, and then when I came back, I went, oh, it's done, and it was.
Brilliant.
Now, stressing, like moving things back and forth, spending like 2 hours doing this, just sitting in my chair, like I can't believe I'm still moving this around, and then it just clicks into place.
Out of interest, do you use the image of the reference just as like a kind of just there, so that you can almost kind of replicate it to a degree? Or do you kind of work over the top of something like that? I mean, how have you done that in the past, or how did you do it with Shipwreck? Was that something that you did just as a reference piece kind of thing?
Oh, it's more of like a, it sort of goes back to the question of style. Originally, when I started doing this, it was, oh, I can draw on top of stuff. Like, oh, that's kind of like tracing is tracing cheating. I don't care. Because I don't, because I don't think it is. And then over time, I was like, oh, this is really boring to do it this way. It's, you're just kind of replicating the information that's there. So instead, I went back to going, just using my eyeballs and kind of seeing the reference either like tiny next to it, blown up next to it. I still have it sort of underneath it, and it's more of like an on off sort of thing. Like if you were to look at, like, I don't know if you use Photoshop at all, but
Yeah, I do.
the history, it's mostly layer visibility. Like on off, on off, on off. So like if I make a mistake somewhere, which also happens a lot, like if I accidentally move a
Trying to
layer, I am
find
absolute
it.
I am because the history is just full of me turning the things on and off.
I know exactly what you mean. The whole thing of you're having to label every single layer and all that kind of stuff and make it clear so you can remember it and all that kind of stuff. Or I'm the same. I just don't have the time a lot of the time. And you just end up with this huge, this massive, I don't know, like a
Oh
toilet
yeah.
roll's just rolled out with all like the blooming layers on it. It's ridiculous. And yeah,
Yeah, I want to say on Rock and Roll there was like, I know that there was like layer 130 something,
Oh my
like, and I remember that because
goodness.
I stopped. You get to a point where you just, I'm not, nope, I'm not naming that one. Like I don't need to name this like bullet shadow layer, like 50th bullet that's just flying through the air. I'm not gonna do that. So I just hope that, like, me doing the on off thing doesn't accidentally move something to where I have to like really go back and like fix it and spend a lot of time.
30 edit undo kind of scenarios. Yeah. Oh, mate.
Yeah, I also tend to save a lot of iterations of things just in case that
Yes.
happens. I've learned the hard way.
Oh,
I mean,
same.
I'm granted, I'm sure there's much more efficient ways to do this now, but I'm not gonna do it.
I know. It's the thing, this is the thing. I come from a musical background as well, more production and stuff like that. And so, like, when making music as well, it's a similar kind of thing. Like, the, you know, you've got so much, like, again, more about the saving aspect, but learning that the hard way when you lost an entire song that you've been editing for the last, I don't know how many days, and then that's gone and you're like, oh, okay, great, I'll have to start from scratch completely again. That's not a great feeling. So
I'm gonna go stick my head in the bathtub.
Plug the toaster in. Get that. Anyway, cool.
Kick the chair into the wall, have to patch drywall tomorrow morning, you know, that type of thing.
Exactly.
I haven't ever done that. Never.
Not yet.
I'm being very sarcastic. I've done it many times.
You've done it tonight, probably.
No. We're on a pretty hot streak right now.
Oh, good.
I'm gonna knock on some wood.
Well, speaking of what you're doing currently, actually, have you got any? What can you talk about in terms of projects that you're working on at the moment? Not necessarily G.I. Joe, obviously, because I know there's massive NDAs there. But is there anything you're kind of doing at the moment that you're enjoying, or you can talk about?
We could talk about other G.I. Joe things. There was the Hiss Tank.
Of course.
Yeah.
Dude.
And that was a really cool one because I had one of those, and I know they came out like before I ever would have played with G.I. Joes. It was one of those things where we would go visit my grandmother out in Western Ohio. And she, you know, she's just one of those people that buy stuff from like a garage sale, like maybe my grandkids will like it sort of thing.
Yeah.
We came there and there was, you know, black tank, and I didn't really know what it was. I just knew that it went with G.I. Joe.
And then
as I started watching the show as I grew up, I was like, oh man, that's super cool. It's like a black tank that has sort of like a snake head shape to it.
Yeah.
Super cool. And then last summer, might have been August, I got an email from someone at Hasbro that I hadn't worked with before. And like, hey, you want to check your availability, see if you're interested in working on something. And, you know, they don't ever tell you what it is in the first email. So it's like, I'm interested in whatever this mystery thing is. He did mention that it was a vehicle. And I was like, I hope it's the Hiss Tank.
And then
the deck came in and I was like, oh, it's Hiss Tank.
That's a phenomenal, man.
And it was hard. It was super duper challenging because, like, we've been talking so far only about squishy things, people.
Yep.
And that's what I draw. So we've got this big box that has a whole lot of tanks on it. And I think the Hiss Tank is super cool, but I couldn't tell you the last time I drew a tank.
Right.
Until then.
And did you have to dress up like a tank?
Like, yeah, the tank is me. No, I didn't have to. Because, again, they provided super great resources to work from. So they sent, you know, a 3D model, and I'm not a 3D guy, but I know enough to be able to move it around. I've gotten better at it since, and that's been very helpful for the current project that I can't talk about. I might have just given you a clue there. Hopefully not. But yeah, the Hiss Tank was amazing because it was an opportunity for me to like spend a lot of time on one thing because it took a long time to get it done, and I almost feel a little bit bad about how long it took, but it was worth it because
definitely worth it
because it looks great. And I think there's five tanks on it. And each one is like in such a different, position.
Yeah.
Well, like the one on the back panel is like extreme foreground. So you get like a lot more detail and you get to see things like the upside down cobra symbol that projects the light.
The light. Yeah.
Whereas you're not going to see that on the main one, but the main one's sort of like the hero shot where it's at this like super dynamic three-quarter angle. And there's another one that's like further in the back. And then the back panel, it's like a profile view. So you get to see the sort of like snake head shape in it, which is something that I didn't really even pick up on, that it's like Hiss Tank, snake head thing until way later. And I was like, oh,
same.
Genius.
I mean, I grew up with G.I. Joe, obviously. Like, as a kid in the UK, it was Action Force initially, but then turned into G.I. Joe. But like, the His Tank for me was something that I only saw on the cartoon, I only saw in the comics. I didn't have one of them, so like I didn't. But so there wasn't that thing of like, you know, having it in hand and kind of seeing that and studying it a little bit. It wasn't until later on that, and then someone mentioned, I think it was we saw concept drawings of the very first ideas, like ideation basically of the His Tank, loads of cool concept artwork that's out there. And on there they did like a whole, it's way more like stylized like a snake. And it was then I was like, oh yeah, of course. I guess it's like a snake
Yeah,
head. And
duh, his tank.
never dawned on me at all. I was an
Yeah.
idiot. Yeah. But
Yeah,
yeah.
well, that's all of us. We're all idiots.
We're all fools.
Well, I was gonna say, like, if someone, we're all idiots because we want to buy a $400 His Tank toy, but I mean, that's why we're having this conversation. Like,
Exactly. Exactly.
the collector community around this kind of blows my mind, because it's not like,
Oh.
it was when we were kids and these things are like $5, and you've got people out there building like armies of these things where they're buying the same figure like in double digit amounts, which is
Yep.
mind-boggling to me. I mean, I would love to do that. I mean, I don't know, I
I
have a
can
bunch of
see, yeah.
toys up there, but
Yeah.
it's like I'm not gonna do that. I would like to, maybe if I don't know, did a whole lot more His Tanks and had the money for it, but it's not
Dude.
for me. But if we continue to talk about the actual His Tank packaging, I
Yes.
forgot to mention that it has like three figures on it, which was a pretty cool unexpected thing, because I think there's a nod to the original designer of those, the His Tank driver and the trooper and stuff, because the one
Ron
colorway
Ruda.
is like specific. Yes,
Yeah,
his name is
yeah.
escaping me. That was like a very intentional, like, okay, you're gonna put this colorway on here because it's his. And I was like, oh, that's, I love stuff like that.
Yeah. The tactician, yeah, the his tactician was it was a fan vote as well,
Yeah.
wasn't it? Yeah, wicked. Really good
Yeah, and
stuff.
I had to, I think they wanted, they don't really like specify like what they should be doing. So it was more like, okay, these guys are sort of walking along with, like, the idea is like something's happened. All these tanks are mobilizing to go out and
Nice.
join the fight. And then these other guys are sort of like walking along, monitoring. Maybe they're going to get in one, that sort of thing. And I'm glad I did that. And like when I do these things, I sort of present it in a PDF and I can like write out all my thoughts, like what I'm thinking. I try to put some sort of narrative in it because it's a big box. Like it's there's four panels, and I want some sort of consistency across all four panels, because a lot of these things you could just do a collage where it's like big tank, little tank exploding in the background, person flying, like giant head in the background. But in this case, we wanted to be a specific environment. So then I was like, okay, we're going to build a narrative around it.
That his freeze is, I'm calling it a freeze. What would you call it? Just a banner or a interior, or what would you call that? Just a stunning bit of
I guess
crazy
that
artwork.
we kept calling it a hangar, because
Oh,
it's like
nice.
all the tanks are in a hangar during the process.
Okay,
I guess
that
that word works.
I like
I mean, it's
that.
kind of like a panoramic view, I
Yes.
guess.
Yeah, without the
But yeah.
distorted iPhone style panorama thing going on,
Yeah,
that
exactly. And it was
that
also like really tough. That one was tough because, again, like I'm not the best when it comes to that sort of stuff, and I shouldn't say the best, but like it's not my comfort zone. So it was a lot
Sure.
of trial and error to get it to look right, because like matching the perspectives and making sure it looks like the figures that are in there are walking through. So the way that I fixed that, instead of making it even more difficult for myself, is all these His Tanks are billowing out tons of exhaust that is
Yeah.
just for some reason unnaturally going down instead of up, and then all the characters are walking through it, so you don't actually see their feet. So you
Nice.
can't tell what plane they're on if you can't see their feet. Problem solved.
That's
But I ended
awesome.
up having to draw all the entire bodies anyway, because they wanted to put them on the little boxes that are going to go in the big box.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Thank you so. Yeah, thank you so much for a wonderful piece of artwork to go along with our His
Oh,
Tanks
thank
when they
you.
come in. Amazing stuff, dude. I mean, From what we'd like, you know, what I will say, actually, I know you can't talk about stuff, but clearly you've got more classified stuff lined up. Or can you not even, can you even hint that you're working on more stuff? Or is that not allowed?
I think it's allowed.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I have things, there are more things coming.
That's all we need to know.
I'm very, very proud of them.
Awesome.
I would love to tell you about them, but I'm not going to, not at all.
But we'll get you, we can get you on the next.
Oh, I'll be back. I'll be back to talk about them.
I'm so glad to hear that. Dude, that brings us to the end of the interview. Oliver, thank you so much for coming on and speaking to me about this incredible artwork on the classified line. Dude, I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is super fun. Thanks for having me.
No, not at all. Yeah, we'll definitely get you back on the show, 100%. Where can people find you if they don't already follow you on all of the socials?
I think probably Twitter's the best one for me. Just my handle, just my full name, Oliver Barrett. Cool. Two R's, two T's.
Link in the description.
There are other Oliver Barretts out there. I'm going to get them all. There can only be one.
Oh, it's like, I'm a McLeod. I'm literally Highlandering. Yeah.
Yeah, you get it. There was one time that someone, I didn't say Instagram because someone that has the same name as me reached out and they're like, hey, can I have your handle? And I was like, fuck you, no. What have you done? And it was like one of the only times I like really was like, hey, like I'm somebody, like who are you? But it was someone trying to take my handle. It's my name. That's like I understand amazing. You have the same name, but I had it first. Like that's your problem.
That's amazing. I do get occasionally Chris McLeod's reaching out and saying, hi, I'm also Chris McLeod, but not like asking for a handle or anything, because I don't think I've used my name on a handle for anything. But yeah, that's amazing. And then the fact you got to shoot them down and say, hell no, get out of here.
He was very rude about it, so I felt good about it. There's another Oliver Barrett that's very, very nice. So it wasn't him. It was a different one.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Anyway, dude, been an absolute pleasure. That brings us to the end of the episode, though. So that's it for this installment of The Full Force Redacted. Thank you to my wonderful guest, Oliver Barrett. See you next time. And as always, I should have asked you this beforehand to see if you were up for this. But at the end of the episode, we don't shout necessarily, but we yell the battle cry, full force. Okay, not yo-yo.
Full force.
We do full force. So, and I'll give you an example. Full force, like that, right? Because that was the overdubbed version of the Action Force VHS tapes we would get. Instead of yo-yo, they would say full force, overdubbed, and it was hilarious. So I tend to just throw that in there. Are you up for doing that at the end of this, Oliver?
Yeah, let me go. Let me shut the door so my wife doesn't make fun of me.
That's amazing. I'm so happy that you said yes. Oh, that's brilliant. Do you know, the Hasbro guys were always really up for it. You ready? After three. One, two. Hold on.
Exactly like you did it?
Yeah, like, that'll do. Okay. That's fine. Any way you want to do it. You don't have to do it loud.
Way,
yeah, do it like a cobra.
It's going to look like shipwreck.
I'm going to do it like this. You ready?
Sure.
After one, two, three. Full force! That was the best. That was the best.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing and commenting on these videos, and as always you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force. Access granted.